No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we will see where the prophet Zephaniah calls the people of Judah to repentance before the day of the Lord's anger. Then he pronounces judgment on the surrounding nations. We hope you join us as we continue in Zephaniah chapter 2 on Simply the Bible.
Zephaniah spoke of the great day of the Lord that was coming. This day of judgment would first come to Judah, but it was indicative of the judgment that will come upon the entire world in the future. Now, what was Zephaniah's purpose in all this? Was he merely a herald of doom and gloom? Today we see that his goal was not to bring the people to despair, but to repentance and obedience. Apparently, it was not too late for the people of Judah if they would turn from their idols and seek the Lord. Matthew Henry said that Zephaniah intended not to frighten them out of their wits, but to frighten them out of their sins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God warns us because he doesn't want us to perish, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue in Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Zephaniah said to Judah, gather yourselves together. We could translate this, pull yourselves together, guys. Now, God considered them an undesirable nation. Their sin and spiritual adultery had made her undesirable to Yahweh, her husband. And so Zephaniah warned them. It seemed that there was still time for God to relent if they would act swiftly, but time was running out. I believe that we in the United States are in a similar predicament. The many sins of our nation cry out to God for judgment. But I believe that God is calling out to us to repent and to seek him before it is too late. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. This call goes out to the meek of the earth. Now, that is to those who are willing to submit to God. Meekness is not weakness. It is a characteristic of Christ. It is also the intelligent awareness that it is foolish to resist one's maker. There are many people who do not personally know the Lord, who nevertheless uphold justice. They seek to obey the voice of conscience by doing what is right. But this is not enough because they are still sinners who have not always acted rightly. So Zephaniah says, seek righteousness, seek humility. In other words, do not come to God in proud self-righteousness, blind to your own true condition. Instead, come in humble repentance, and it may be that God will hide and protect you in the day of his wrath. Even if it was too late to stop the judgment that was coming upon the nation, those who were upright could save themselves. It is always God's desire not to destroy the wicked, but to deliver the faithful. Zephaniah now turns to the surrounding nations. True, judgment does begin with the house of God, but the Lord will also judge the nations. Yahweh is not merely the God of the Jews or of the Christians. He is the creator of all mankind, and we must all give an account of ourselves to him. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitant. The seacoast shall be pastures, with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives." So now Zephaniah begins by giving a prophecy against the Philistines, and he lists four of the five Philistine cities. The only one omitted is the city of Gath. They had been perennial enemies to Israel. You'll recall that David had defeated Goliath, their champion. And here they are called the nation of Kerethites. Now, that literally means nation of the Cretans. It probably refers to the Cretans, who migrated eastward and settled on the Mediterranean coastal plains, thus becoming the Philistines. But God said, "I will destroy you, so that there will be no inhabitant." And truly, today, the Philistines have ceased to exist as a people. Now, God said the seacoast will be for the remnant of Judah. During the millennial kingdom, the inhabitants of Judah will shepherd their flocks on these coastal plains. The Philistine territory was included in the land that God promised to Abraham and his descendants. In that day, the Lord will intervene and gather his people from all the nations to which they have been scattered. Verse 8, "I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place, indeed all the shores of the nations." Now, Moab and Ammon were the sons of Lot. You will recall that when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters escaped. But then the daughters thought they would no longer be able to find a man to marry, so they got their father Lot drunk and lie with him. And thus they became pregnant with Moab and Ammon. And so this was the beginning of those two nations, which again would be enemies of Israel. When Israel came out of Egypt, the king of Moab, Balak, hired Balaam to pronounce curses on them, but God did not listen. Instead, Balaam blessed the people. But it just showed the antagonism of Moab and Ammon against Israel, even though they were relatives. So God said, "I have heard their reproach, their insults, their arrogant threats, and therefore they would become as Sodom and Gomorrah." This judgment was oddly appropriate because it was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that led to their birth. Now Moab and Ammon would return to the same destruction and desolation. This happened because they reproached the Jews, and that should stand as a warning to any people who would curse God's people, the Jews. That promise to Abraham is still in effect, that God will bless those who bless his descendants and curse those who curse them. And anti-Semitism is just asking for the judgment of God. Now, even though their land would become a desolation, God is not through with the people of Moab and Ammon. Because in the millennial kingdom, the people of Moab and Ammon, which is modern Jordan, will worship the Lord along with all nations. Verse 12, "You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword." The Hebrew here is Cushites. These were descendants of Ham, the son of Noah. Their country was far south of Judah in the upper Nile region. This corresponds to the modern nations of southern Egypt, Sudan, and northern Ethiopia. Zephaniah followed the four points of the compass: Philistia in the west, Moab and Ammon east, Assyria in the north, and Cush or Ethiopia in the south. It could be that these represent all nations that God will judge in the great day of the Lord. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation. Both the pelican and the bittern shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lay bare the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. So God said that he would destroy Assyria. Of course, the main city, the capital of Assyria, was Nineveh. Now, Jonah warned Nineveh of God's judgment 150 years earlier, and the people repented. But successive generations returned to their old ways. Nineveh was destroyed by the combined forces of the Babylonians and Scythians in 612 BC, shortly after Zephaniah gave this prophecy. Nineveh had an inner and outer city. The inner wall was 8 miles in circumference and 100 feet high. It was so wide that three chariots could race around it side by side. Another mighty wall, perhaps 60 miles in circumference, surrounded the outer city. Between these two walls was enough farmland to support the huge population. Now, Nineveh had made the boast, I am it, and there is none besides me. In one sense, that was true. For about 200 years, she was superior to any other city in the world. But no one is beyond the reach of the Lord. Nineveh had been a great city of refuge for the Assyrians, but she was destroyed and became a haunt for wild beasts and birds. You cannot go to Nineveh today as a destination on your vacation. The people of Nineveh thought their great city was impregnable. Therefore, her citizens were proud, careless, and carefree. But God brought their city down into the dust of desolation. The prophet Zephaniah prophesied against the nations of his day, but his words stand as a warning to us today. Any people who think that they are secure and invincible are sorely mistaken. Anyone who becomes so proud that they think that they can ignore God and his laws and go their own way is self-deceived. God warns us through his word to turn from our sins while there is still time to seek him. If history teaches us anything, it is that if we turn from righteousness to pursue our own desires, then a day of reckoning will surely come. God gives us time to repent and seek him in humility and truth, but that window of opportunity will eventually close, maybe sooner than we think.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will see where Zephaniah prophesies against rebellious Jerusalem. Judgment is coming, but the peoples will worship the Lord. Jerusalem will rejoice and sing in that day. We hope you'll join us as we conclude the book of Zephaniah on Simply the Bible.